We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, everybody? 10 a.m. District of Columbia points north, south, east, and west, including. Did we ever figure it out, landfill? What am I? 25 miles west? 30 maybe? I am live, Ashburn, Virginia, for Commanders Training Camp. Don't forget, every segment of Commanders Training Camp brought to you by Paul Henry's Windows. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. More importantly, though, landfill, give me an air horn. Let's fire this thing up. Damn right, it's a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. Vodka Red Bull Friday, powered by Scotty's handcrafted vodka. Scotty's vodka is Maryland-made, amazingly smooth, and loved throughout the DMV. I hope if you are out there right now drinking a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull, it is 10.04 a.m., but it's also a Friday in the summer, and this is a judgment-free zone. Send me a pic, anybody, all day. You can tweet it at me, at JP Finley, NBCS. I suppose you could send it to me on Instagram, but I don't know if my DMs are open. I'm a little too old to have the DMs open, I believe. I'm out at practice. Good session this morning. Some strong running installations. I got to be real with you. I like Fedarian Mathis. He's a guy that when they drafted him in the second round last season, people kind of this offseason, they drafted him in the second round. People thought, oh, it's kind of a reach. And then there's plenty of angst about letting Tim Settle and Matt Ioannidis go. But I think for what they want to do, and go back and look, last year they ran a five-man front in games with some regularity, particularly in running situations. Those guys weren't the right fit for a five-man front because Ioannidis and Settle are both good players, but they kind of excel as interior pass rushers. And that doesn't help you against the run. You need just run stuffers. Fedarian Mathis is a true run stuffer. And I think him anchoring the middle of that five-man front today, I saw it, and you were looking at Montez Sweat, Deron Payne, Mathis in the middle, John Allen, and today it was Casey Tuhill. I think they would love that to be Chase Young eventually, or even James Smith-Williams, or, you know, ideally they'll have other options. But that looks going to happen a lot, and I think anybody that had kind of angst over that draft pick needs to chill a bit. Little bit of news this morning. I don't want anyone to freak out. Landfill, do not freak out, all right? Promise?
I can make no promises.
All right. In fact, the rookie tight end.
I'm probably going to freak out, just to be clear.
Great. Well, rookie tight end, Cole Turner, the fifth rounder out of Nevada, that has looked so good throughout camp, especially with Logan Thomas out, and now John Bates has missed a lot of time as well. Cole Turner's turned a lot of heads. Today, it's a damn shame Beamish isn't on the show, because I think he would enjoy this. They're basically going live. Like, they were tackling dudes to the ground. Like, Gibson kind of went down to the ground. He popped right up. I think that was Gibson's first carries in teamwork this season, this training camp. But Cole Turner got rolled up a little bit. He caught the ball from Taylor Heinicke. They're running a lot of multi-tight end sets. It was crazy. Kind of looked like Ravens offense a little bit. And it was a rollout to his right, and Heinicke had Hodges, who's an undrafted rookie, who's actually looked pretty good. And he had Hodges on like a quick little stop, then Turner on a seam, but not a deep one. It was maybe 6 yards or something. Hits Turner with the ball. It was the right read, good throw, good catch. As Turner goes down, he's kind of in a pile, goes down, and you see the knee twist a little bit. And nobody likes to see a knee twist on August 5th. A little slow to get up, helped off, gets stretched out by the trainers. He's holding his helmet. You can tell he kind of wants to go back in. New head athletic trainer, Al Bellamy, kind of came over, interceded, and sent Turner to the trainer tent, and he hasn't come back. I wouldn't expect him to come back. Watching it and having watched a lot of this stuff, I'm not particularly alarmed by it. But it does make me wonder. So they got their big FedEx Field practice tomorrow night, and I think you can still get tickets if you want. Fans should go. Good opportunity to go to FedEx and without a big price tag. I don't know who's going to be their tight ends tomorrow night because it's certainly not going to be Logan Thomas. John Bates hasn't practiced in, I want to say, a week, which is kind of alarming. Now Cole Turner, we'll hear from Ron probably in about an hour, and you'll hear from that live right here on B. Mitchell Finley, here on The Fan. I don't know. I think you're talking about Curtis Hodges and I guess Samus Reyes tomorrow night, which ain't exactly what the fans want to see, although there's still a ton of hype around Reyes, so maybe people will be excited to see that. But not great news, not a big deal, but if you look at the injured list over there, it's starting to add up, and it's August 5th, so don't be concerned. But a couple guys that I'm starting to wonder about, Lanville, I hope you're sitting down. Curtis Samuel. I know you're stunned by that since he practiced 2 days ago. De'Ami Brown was on the side field today. That's a new entry. But Trey Turner is just not practicing. I mean, he's supposed to start for them. Or at least be a heavy, heavy competition guy with Wes Schweitzer. I don't know, man. A lot of questions, but this is the time of year where you don't freak out. It is August 5th. Have I said that enough about not freaking out, Landfill?
I'm freaking out about Samuel.
You are or not?
Oh, I am.
Well, at this point, my advice with the Curtis Samuel saga is, and not everybody's going to want to hear this, assume he's not playing. Just, like, do you have any, like, really annoying relatives? Or, like, when you were a kid and you'd have a relative that would just, like, give you a bad present every year? And so just, like, stop thinking about that Christmas present. And every once in a while you get a good one and it's awesome. Like, think of Curtis Samuel as dessert. You don't get dessert with every meal, but when you get dessert, it's pretty great. I think that's where we're at with Curtis Samuel. And I might just stay in that headspace until proved otherwise. There was a pretty funny moment earlier. They were running full 11-on-11, like pretty legit contact, tackling guys to the ground. It was the play before Cole Turner got tweaked on the knee. And it was a rollout for Wentz. And Wentz is a big man, and he's got Montez Sweat chasing him. And Montez Sweat's a big man, but Wentz is every inch as big as Sweat. And it was just funny to watch, man, because as Sweat is chasing him off to the side, he's screaming at him, "Get rid of it! Get rid of it!" And you can see Carson's just kind of smiling as he gets out of bounds. And it was right there where the fans were, and I think everybody was able to enjoy it. It just is kind of a fun moment. And I want to talk about the fans, too. So today, I believe, is the first day the Commanders have, like, opened this thing up. If you remember, they had the lottery, and the lottery, from what I heard from a number of fans, didn't go so well and made it hard to get out here. And I think the Commanders realized their misstep and have since opened everything up. And it's definitely the biggest crowd of training camp so far. If you look at kind of the parking lot as your gauge out here, it's by far the busiest day because they actually have cars on both sides of the driveway here if you've been out here. Good crowd. I think it'll be probably in about 20 minutes they'll do their final 11-on-11s of the session and maybe some goal line, maybe some red zone, maybe some two-minute, whatever today's installation calls for. And I think when you watch that, I think you'll get pretty good reaction from the crowd. There's a bunch of folks out there. Anybody that's in their car or whatever, when you come up and say how much you love listening to the radio show, know that it means a lot. But I think I'll say this about this iteration of the Commanders. There are mistakes, but I think they recognize when they happen and they try to correct them. And hopefully tomorrow night at FedEx Field has a really good crowd. They sent out a press release. I want to go to this about Saturday night's practice at FedEx because they're pulling out all the stops. So they are having activations at the training camp practice tomorrow night at FedEx Field. Now, this is smart. They're letting people tailgate. Practice doesn't start until 6:45. They're opening the lots at 2 o'clock. Gates open to FedEx at 4:30. So if you want to get there, you want to get there early, you can do it. Tailgate, whatever you want to do. Once the gates open, there will be a series of activations, including meet and greets with, Washington legends. You know what? I've noticed that this is a term they keep using. I think that's quite smart. Rather than saying Commanders legends, which would obviously ring kind of hollow because these guys never played for the Commanders, calling them Washington legends is quite smart because B. Mitch is not a Commanders legend. He's a Washington legend. And guys like London Fletcher, who I saw on the sidelines, Santana Moss, those guys, they're Washington legends. So that is a smart wording by the organization. So you can go into practice tomorrow early, meet some of the Washington legends. The Command Force will be out and about. That is the new entertainment team. That's right. They're called the Command Force. They're going to have a kid zone with face painting and arts and crafts. Kids love the face painting landfill. Taste the FedEx Field. But this is the big guns they're pulling out. You know what they're pulling out to get people in there? You ready for this, landfill?
I need it. I need to know. It better be puppies. Funnel cakes.
Puppies.
Oh.
Puppies, puppies, puppies. Everybody loves puppies. You find me somebody that doesn't love... No, you take that back and play the other thing. You play the winner one. Play the... Landfill, who on this planet doesn't... I'm being serious. Play the other one. They're pulling out the stops. Headlining the concourse activations, there will be a pet adoption event located in the east end zone on the concourse from sections 130 to 134 from 430 to 630. Approximately 30 dogs will be up for adoption from a bunch of different nonprofits. Dude, they're bringing out the puppies.
I thought it was going to be funnel cake.
People show up for puppies.
I was excited for funnel cake. And
they
then
might have funnel cake. Listen, funnel cake's great. Puppies are better. Okay.
If I had known that it was you could adopt the puppies, I wouldn't have played the bum 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 bum.
Can you give me an air horn for the dogs, please? That's what I like to hear. All right. Now, the Washington legends you can meet include London Fletcher, Dion Fox, Kedrick Golston, Tim Hightower, Santana Moss, Chris Neild, Fred Smoot, and Doug Williams. Some cool big names there. I'm sure they'll be happy to take pictures and sign autographs, all that good stuff. So, listen, man, if you're looking for a good event to go to FedEx tomorrow night. It's a Saturday night in August. There shouldn't be traffic. Everybody loves complaining about traffic going to FedEx. Saturday night in August. Shouldn't be bad. Right? Assuming the Beltway is ever okay. I got a real question here for you, Landfill, from Noble Martin. You ready?
I'm ready.
He wants to know, why are you freaking out about Cole Turner when you're an Eagles fan?
Because I think he sucks and I want bad players to play for Washington.
Cole Turner's good, dude. He can play. It's crazy, man. Watching that game last night, just having football on my television, just felt so great. And, wasn't the best football game I've ever seen, but it was just great to see football on my TV. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And the over hit pretty handily, right? Wasn't it 30 points?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, the Raiders almost hit that by themselves. I know folks were watching. I know there's plenty of folks out here at practice. It's a great time, dude. It seems crazy. We're only 37 days away till week one. So, you know, for all the Madden experts, I hope you were scouting the Jags pretty good and send your scouting reports over to Coach Ron. We got a big show coming up today. B-Mitch is on vacation. He's down in Florida playing golf. I got a great tweet, I want to say, from DC Sports Doctor or something. But basically, maybe it was DC Sports Talk. B-Mitch posted a Instagram, DC Sports Talk. B-Mitch posted a picture this morning on his Instagram, which he never does. He'll usually, like, share somebody else's picture. But he posted a picture of a golf course, Hammock Beach Golf Resort and Spa, with two pictures of the sun saying, "Good morning, everyone." You think he's trolling us for working today, Landfill?
Definitely.
It seems like it a little bit, honestly. Which, I don't blame him. So, big show today. You're going to hear from J.D. McKissick, Jason LaCanfora from CBS, and 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore will join us. PFT Commenter will join us at 1 o'clock. And you guys have been hearing the commercials, I'm guessing. Tomorrow night in College Park is this alumni basketball game between alumni of Maryland and alumni of Georgetown. I think it's a pretty cool concept and should be a pretty fun game. Anthony Cowan, who's a, if I had to guess, might be like the next Maryland player to get his name, get his jersey hung up in the rafters. He'll join the program at 1:30, which I'm really looking forward to. And I believe Cowan, he grew up in Bowie. He went to St. John's. I think he is a big Commanders fan. I may be proven wrong on that. He might be a Ravens fan for all I know. But I feel like I've heard that. So we'll ask Cowan about that, which should be pretty cool. I think he was on the Maryland team that was, I know Landfill will disagree. Thanks, pal. The Maryland 2020 team was actually really good, and I think they won a share of the Big Ten, and I think they could have been a legit deep tourney team, and then COVID hit, and tourney got canceled, and everything ended up sucking for the next 3-4 years or whatever. He was on that team. He was probably the best player on that team. So it's going to be a lot of fun to talk to Cowan this afternoon. What I'm most interested in is talking to JLC kind of about the league and Deshaun Watson. This Deshaun Watson thing is going to take a really interesting turn. And I don't know how it's going to shake out because so the independent judge ruled that he should have a 6-game suspension. I think, by and large, the reaction to that is that it's not enough. If Calvin Ridley suspended a year for a 3-game parlay and, you know, more than 20 people came out to at least accuse or allege Deshaun Watson of, sexual assault, I don't know. It's a tricky situation. Apparently, the NFL can appeal it and ask for a bigger suspension. A lot of people believe that's going to happen. I want to dig into that a little bit. I'm not sure I have an opinion on this because it's, I think, far more complicated than what people try to boil it down to. But at the same time, I know for a lot of people it means a lot of different things. And the league is also dealing with owner scandals all over. I mean, this Dolphins thing is wild. This Dolphins situation is a mess. And they're dealing with that on top of Dan Snyder. Tanya Snyder is here. She was at practice today. I think she's been at practice the last few days. So that is an interesting wrinkle in the Dan saga where we believe he's still overseas. Plenty for us to get into. JLC joins us at noon. You'll hear from Ron Rivera in about an hour live from Commanders training camp.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Be Mitch and Finley. I don't know a lot about this song, but it gets me moving. I know that. It's a strong Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday song right here, Landini. Who we got in studio? We got Crazy Jeff in there?
Crazy Jeff is here.
What's up, Jeff Walker?
What up, JP?
So, you've had this stance for a while now about your boy Cam Sims. And I figure with the Curtis Samuel ongoing saga, and now De'Ami Brown's on the side field, I thought today's a good time to have the Cam Sims discussion, if you're up for it, sir.
I'm up for it, man.
Present your case, please. You've been saying this for a while. You've got it pretty locked in. Let's hear it. Give it to the people.
Okay, so we was having a conversation in the bullpen one day, and everyone thought I was complete nuts because I said it's possible that this be the year that Cam Sims can, you know, kind of be unlocked with his potential, being as though, you know, we now have a quarterback with a stronger arm who could place them high balls accurately, and he could be a more of a jump ball receiver. We seen little speculations of it last year, but remember, we only had two in aerial attacks. We only went short and medium. Now, with, you know, our guys coming back, and like I said, we're going to battle injuries with Curtis Samuel, so he is going to get his time to shine, and I'm on the fact that he will get at least 5 touchdowns this year.
Okay. First, I want to point out some lies here. There was no Jeff Walker calmly said it's possible Cam Sims could get 5 touchdowns. It was more of a Jeff Walker bold, loud proclamation that this is Cam Sims' year to break out and he's going to get at least 5 touchdowns.
Now, I didn't.
Which one of those stories sounds more accurate?
No,
Landfill?
I did not say.
Let Landfill's the judge.
He definitely said that Cam Sims is getting 5 touchdowns and over 500 yards, and that we were crazy for thinking otherwise.
Correct. I knew he was going to fabricate it.
It's not fabrication. It's just straight truth.
You're fabricating. Yeah.
No.
All right.
No.
Hold on,
no.
Jeff. Hold on. In 4 seasons with the Washington football team, from 2018, where he barely played as an undrafted rookie, 2019, he played in 7 games and had 2 catches. 2020 was kind of the breakout. He had 32 catches that year, 477 yards with a touchdown. If you remember, he had that big game against the Steelers when Alex Smith was playing and found him a bunch. That was the year they got hot late and won a bad NFC East and lost to Tampa in the playoffs. Last season, the numbers dipped. 15 catches, 211 yards, but 2 touchdowns. A little more red zone love for Jeff's guy. So in his career, he has 49 catches in 14 games, 715 yards, 3 touchdowns. And Jeff believes this is the year, 5 touchdowns, 500 yards. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
I'll open the phone lines up.
Hold on.
You hold on.
Let me redact that statement.
Don't redact anything. Let me give out the phone number. Okay? Let me do that, and then you can correct your statement. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. MGM, National Harbor, listener lines are open. Here's the question. What's Cam Sims' role? I want to point out a few things that could perhaps push you towards the over on 500 yards or 5 touchdowns. Cam Sims is the only receiver they have taller than 6 foot. All the rest of their receivers are body-wise the same dude. They're all about between 5'10 and 6 foot. They're all kind of slight, and they're all speedsters. Samuel is bigger. He's thicker, but he's not tall. Samuel's kind of built like a running back more than he is a wideout, and he's kind of not exactly a wideout. He's a little bit more of a gadget guy. He does a lot of different things, and not to mention, he can't practice 2 days in a row, and I think it's we don't know what they're going to get out of him. De'Ami Brown is a deep threat. That's what he is. He's on the side field today, and I wouldn't be stunned if there's a scenario where, depending on how many wide receivers they keep, depending on what happens with Samuel, but a scenario where it's McLaurin, this is your 6 you break camp with. McLaurin, Dotson, Samuel, Sims, De'Ami Brown, Alex Erickson as your punt returner, right? Maybe they keep Dax Milne. Maybe Samuel goes to IR and they keep 6 and it's Dax Milne. Who knows? But if you broke camp with that 6, maybe they keep 7 and it's Dax Milne. Regardless, if you break camp with that group, De'Ami Brown's probably your odd man out. He's probably your inactive player on game day, which is pretty crazy to think about a third rounder last year. I say all this to say Cam Sims is the only guy with size. He's 6'5", he's long, he's lanky, he's got good hops, good verticality. He can go up and get it in the red zone. 500 yards, 5 touchdowns for Cam Sims means you need a really productive season out of Carson. But I don't think it's going to happen, but I don't think it's as crazy as a lot of other things Jeff Walker says. If you think Cam can get to 5 touchdowns or more this season, hit us up. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Landfill, you get to weigh in first on the Cam Sims touchdown parade in 2022.
Yeah, look, I think Jeff is crazy here. I think that Cam Sims... I think there's a Cam Sims on every team in the league where it's just some kind of random undrafted free agent or late round pick who hangs around on the team for a couple years, and fans get really excited about the guy in training camp and preseason. And he never has a breakout year because he's not very good to begin with. And he's just kind of hanging around because he's a decent guy and the coaches like him, but they're consistently trying to get better at the position. I mean, how many guys have they brought in at wide receiver since we've had Cam Sims? You know, because Cam Sims isn't very good.
You know what the term Ashburn syndrome that I've coined means a lot of different things now. It's basically like aloha in Hawaiian. It means a lot of different things at this point. But I kind of started it because the root cause of Ashburn syndrome was Commanders and previously Redskins fans that talked themselves into the upside of a player that is so far from reality of what that player is. The player that got me to coin the phrase was actually Simi Cobbs. If anybody remembers Simi Cobbs.
Oh, I remember Simi Cobbs.
He got plucked off the Redskins practice squad. I want to say, let's call it 2017. I don't remember when it was. By the Saints. And everybody's like, damn, New Orleans got one. He's going to be a star. Ends up he wasn't a star. And he was cut by New Orleans a few weeks later. So, I like Cam a lot, and I think being the only receiver they have with size matters. But, Jeff, can I ask you a quick question?
Go ahead, JP.
Would you describe Terry McLaurin as a good receiver?
As a good receiver? No.
Hold on. These are yes or no questions. Is Terry good?
Are you going to bring a better synonym for good after
this? Just can you answer yes or no, please, sir?
Okay,
I might need the judge to speak to the witness.
Okay, no.
Is Terry
he's great.
Terry's not good. Is Terry very good?
No.
What you want? Is Terry great?
Yes.
Okay, you think Terry McLaurin's a great receiver?
Yes.
Over under 5 touchdowns last year for Terry McLaurin.
Over.
He had 5 touchdowns last year, sir.
Okay.
So I just getting Cam Sims north of 5 touchdowns is not the gimme you think it is. He has, I believe he has 3 in his career.
So can we factor in some things when we talk about Terry McLaurin only having 5 touchdowns? Because he could have, if with a stronger arm, and I'm not knocking Taylor, I appreciate everything he did. But with a stronger arm, Terry would have had more touchdowns than 5. I mean, you can go look at his highlights now. You could go look at...
Actually, not disagreeing with you. Josh Norris, who's a friend of the program, had a really good breakdown of McLaurin the other day on why his contested catch rate went up so much and why his separation numbers went down is because he couldn't separate because Taylor didn't have the arm and he had to win contested catches because there were a lot more 50-50 balls. So I'm with you. But even in his career, Terry has 16 touchdowns in 3 seasons. So he went 7 as a rookie, 4 in his second season, and 5 last year. Now, he's been playing with bad quarterbacks. I'm entirely cognizant of that. Touchdowns for wideouts aren't gimmies. And I think Tailgate Ted just tweeted me. He said, I think Jeff has the worst case of Ashburn syndrome that's ever been documented.
Wow, okay, you can believe that. But like I said, I wanted to redact my statement on the Cam Sims because you said 5 touchdowns and 500 yards. I'm not going for the 500 yards because I believe he's going to be more of a red zone target and a red zone threat. So he can get them 5 touchdowns because you're going to see us in the red zone a lot this year. And like I said, by week 6-7, you'll know if my head is in a corner or if my head is still standing high.
If he gets over 5 touchdowns, if he gets to 6 or above, I'll buy you lunch every day for a week. If he gets over 5, I'll buy you lunch for every touchdown he has. So if he gets to 7 touchdowns, that's 7 lunches. And some of them can be 5 guys, but one day I'll take you to the prime rib on K Street. All right?
Okay. It's always, I know, what's in the hindsight? What's on my end?
I wasn't even going to do anything, but hell, let's
okay,
do something.
Okay, cool. Nah, we can leave it there.
No.
I'm going to hold you to that.
I think I got to come up with something.
Nah.
Any touchdowns under 5, so if he gets to 5 is an even point for both of us, which is an absurdly high number, but that's how you set it. Anything north of 5, I'll buy you a lunch for every touchdown scored. Anything below 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, whatever that number may be, you have to caddy for me in a round of golf.
Okay, I'll
take
that.
You don't get to play, you just have to carry my bag.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I didn't know if you knew, because when it comes to golf, there's lots of things you don't know, like why you only wear one glove, things like that. So, all right, you get to caddy for me.
Jeff is going to be caddying for you 5 times.
No, because anything under 5, it'll just be the amount of touchdowns. So if he scores 2 touchdowns, Jeff has to caddy for me twice.
That doesn't make any sense. The better he does, the more he has to caddy. He's going to score 0 touchdowns, and Jeff should have to caddy 5 times.
I think he scores 3. I think if Jeff set the numbers at 3, I wouldn't think his Ashburn syndrome was so bad. But instead, he set it at 5. Here's what we got to do. It's a Scotty's Vodka Rebel Friday. MGM National Harbor listener lines are open, 800-636-1067. We're going to hear from Ron Rivera shortly. Don't go anywhere. It's B-Mitch and Finn. Dynamo Brown will have more touchdowns than Cam Sims. Carlos and Severna Park. What do you take for that?
If it happens, it happens. Great. Still don't take away, you know, what's going to happen with Cam. I mean, I think
Stop the presses, Jeff. Zach Selby from he works on the Commanders content team, has done a heck of a job of tweeting out all the plays. Zach Selby, you can follow him at Zach Selby WC, says that was a really nice touchdown from Cam Sims. I say maybe because Sims chucked the ball on the air, but the defense is saying he was out of bounds. Cam says it was a touchdown. I mean, is it a coincidence that he's catching TDs and red zone drills while we're talking about him?
It's not a coincidence, JP. I know my takes may seem far-fetched, and some of them seem
Lamp,
crazy.
Make sure you're recording this.
Yes, yes. Matter of fact, we're going to make this an intro. But I know my takes.
Intro to what?
To every time I'm about to talk on the mic or you introduce me, we're going to play this. Because I know my takes may seem far-fetched. I know they may seem irrational, but when you really think about it, they're highly rational. Because, like you said, we have a same build of a receiver at the different spots. We have a nice red zone target with Cam Sims being a big body on the outside. And then we have what I believe is some pretty decent tight ends as well. So it's going to open up for either one of them. And as you've seen, especially for Trayvon Diggs, it's going to get bad for a lot of cornerbacks trying to jump with my man. And we out.
All right, let's move off this Cam Sims debate because it's not going anywhere to something that unfortunately is going the wrong direction. Antonio Gibson really getting his first work in team drills today, which means pretty much his first work with contact this summer. And Antonio Gibson has lost 2 fumbles in red zone drills. I think if you ask the coaches, if you got the coaches wasted and they're just telling the truth, they would tell you that they were more concerned last year with Gibson maybe not always having the best vision at the line of scrimmage and maybe not always having the best patience when he's pressing a hole or waiting for something to develop. And that's why they drafted Brian Robinson. But they'd also tell you that the fumbles are an issue. And he lost six of them last season, which is way too many for a starting back. And can't be losing two on your first day of practice when, listen, I want to be very clear on this. Gibson's a more dynamic athlete than Brian Robinson, the third-round running back they drafted out of Alabama. Robinson is a good player, but there's a reason he stayed at Bama for 5 years, because all these other backs, Najee Harris included, all these other guys were better than him, and they got on the field and they produced and then they went pro. There's a reason Robinson had to wait out his turn. Robinson can play, but arguably Robinson's greatest strength is his ball security. He didn't lose a single ball last year at Bama. I believe he didn't lose a single ball his entire career at Alabama. So I think there's a weird fantasy scenario where perhaps, you know, people are going to kind of forget about Antonio Gibson and not draft him in fantasy drafts. I think that'd be silly. I think he still has a ton of value. I think he's still going to get carries and catches and all sorts of stuff. And this is a guy that's had over 1,000 yards from scrimmage and double-digit touchdowns each of the last two seasons. He has value. It's not going away. But the fastest track to him legit losing carries, and I'm not going to say losing the job, but entering into a very legitimate timeshare, is by putting the ball on the ground. And not a great start today. And I don't know, man. That's an alarming thing for this offense. The offense has looked much better since pads came on. Not a great day in the goal line for them. My boy Ethan Cadeau broke it down. Ethan Cadeau broke it down on Twitter, said, in a four-down exchange, Gibson got tackled for a loss by Casey Tuhill. Then Robinson had like a minimal gain. Third down, play action by Wentz, incomplete pass, and Jamin Davis was actually in coverage. Fourth down, bad exchange between Wentz and Gibson for a fumble. Maybe that fumble was on Wentz, but when you have the reputation and then the ball's on the ground, it tends to stick with you. Do want to point out that David Mayo is getting perhaps more time with the first string defense than Jamin Davis is. But this has been a decent day for Jamin Davis. He's actually made a couple plays. The best thing Jamin Davis can do is like make you realize he's on the field, because he's so quick and athletic. And when he's invisible is bad news. You need more out of a guy with that kind of talent. And I tweeted this out this morning, and they keep talking, or maybe we keep asking about the linebacker position. And yet, they lost the linebacker earlier this week. Drew White, young kid, undrafted guy out of Notre Dame, blew out his knee, had to be carted off. They've released him with an injury settlement. To replace him, they didn't sign another linebacker. They didn't go get A.J. Klein or John Bostic or anybody. They brought in another corner. And what that tells me is, and I've been talking about it for probably 2 months, I have concerns about the depth at corner. Right now, I legitimately think that Christian Holmes, the seventh rounder out of Oklahoma State, is the fourth corner. And some of that is Holmes is having a good camp, but some of that is also you got Fuller, Jackson, and St. Juice, and I don't know what you got after that. You got Holmes, you got Danny Johnson. I don't know. It's an interesting group. I think they like their safeties and the way they deploy their defense. They can probably go with three safety looks instead of three corners if something happens with Fuller, Jackson, St. Juice. And frankly, I think that's what they would do. I think they like Forrest. I think they like Butler. Forrest was a fifth-rounder last year. Butler was a fourth-rounder this year. Those guys are going to play when they have three safeties out there. I think a lot of times, especially kind of green zone, red zone, I think you're going to see Cam Curl in more of that Buffalo role, and I think you'll see McCain and Forrest or McCain and Butler on the field. Lots to figure out. Big practice tomorrow night. Fans get a chance to go see them Coming up next, we'll hear from Ron Rivera. Mitch Tischler's going to come up here and join me. At noon, Jason Lockenfora joins us. Don't miss that. 1 o'clock, PFT commenter joins us. Don't miss that. Packed show. Be Mitch and Finley. Don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.